chapter number 9. Good crowd tonight on a Sunday night in the house of the Lord. And I appreciate you being here. And if a service like this morning don't make you come back, man, nothing will. Amen. And good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Amen. How many of you is tired? Amen. Well, that's a few honest people. Some of y'all is lying tonight. Amen. You look tired. Stand with me. And we'll read the Word of God while you stand and do this right here. And stretch. Amen. We'll do calisthenics if we have to. And get you good and woke up tonight. Matthew chapter number 9. I'll try not to be long this evening, and we kind of got a late start. I'll do my best not to be too long, and I'll not give you anything, probably won't give you anything really new, but I think it'll be a fresh challenge to our hearts as we get ready to start missions meeting and trusting that the Lord will speak to us even tonight. I believe this with all my heart, that until we give God our heart, we'll never give what He tells us to give financially. And the Lord's let me preach a few missions revivals and, of course, be a part of a lot of mission revivals in my first church. And then in years to come, we anticipate in the Lord letting us have one of these every year. And one thing I try to emphasize is that you got to give God your heart. You got to put your heart in the offering plate before you put your money in the offering plate. And we trust in the Lord to do that tonight. Pay attention, listen as we read Matthew chapter 9. And I want to begin reading verse 35, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I want to preach out of this verse, these verses of Scripture, particularly verse 36, is where we'll take our thought from. When the Bible said about Christ, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." I want to preach on this thought tonight, a heart for the harvest. A heart for the harvest. We want to look at the example of the Lord and some things that he exhorted us in and deal with that. I think the whole matter that we need to consider tonight is our heart, and our heart being toward that which Christ's heart was for, and that being the harvest. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. I want to thank you for the good Word of God. I want to thank you for the good Lord's Day you blessed us with already. Father, this morning you kind of let us, Lord, get excited and be reminded of what we were and how you found us, and Lord, what happened when we got saved. And Lord, you've reminded us, Lord, where we're headed. And Lord, remind us where we're not headed. And Lord, you reminded us of what we have in this very life, Lord, being saved children of God this day. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that good service. Thank you for the service thus far tonight. Lord, we knew that, Lord, it'd not be duplicated. Lord, a duplication of this morning. And Father, you've led us here now to contemplate and to meditate and to hear from your word. And Lord, I ask you this evening, Lord, would you speak to us? And Lord, would you help us, help me, and help this congregation, fill us with the Spirit of God and with power. And Lord, may we be stirred, and more than stirred, may we be challenged, and more than challenged, may we be changed tonight as, Lord, we seek your will and seek your face in the matter of our part, in the matter of the harvest, in the matter of reaching the multitudes, and in the matter of missions tonight as a local church. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. In Matthew chapter 9, if we'd have taken the time to read this chapter in its entirety, here's what you would have noticed this evening, is that this chapter, over and over and time again, deals with the Lord reaching out to people, and people come to the Lord. It's filled with miracles. It's filled with multitudes. It's filled with the mighty power of God on display, and how that the Lord is meeting the needs of people. And can I say, I'm thankful that the Lord came to meet the needs of people. And we know this, He came to go and die and give His life at Calvary and to shed His blood there. But I'm glad between Bethlehem and between Calvary, and the Lord exemplifying to you and I that He is interested. He's interested in people, and He's interested in the needs of the multitudes, and He's interested in stopping what He's doing and what He's saying, and He might do something for somebody along the way. Amen. I know this firsthand, for there's a day 14 years ago or 18 years ago now that my friend the Lord came by my way and showed me that He's still interested in individuals, and I'm thankful for that tonight. And in fact, in verse 35, we find that really it's a commentary on the Lord's ministry as it relates to Matthew chapter number 8. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And we find there at the Lord, He's running here, He's running there. He's stopping by this city. He's touching this person. He's healing this sickness. He's performing a miracle for this lady. He's doing something in this family's life. And over the Lord is doing something. The Bible said in verse number 36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Our text verses here reference what we call the multitudes. He's not just interested, my friend, in the individual, but there was something as the Lord looked at as He went about from city to city, and He looked in these cities as a whole, and He seen them and all that they were. He looked at them and He references them and likens to them as that of a harvest. The Bible said in verse 37 about this multitude that He was moved with compassion for. He said to His disciples, He saith unto thee, His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, and He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And so the Lord, as He looks on the multitude, He turns to His disciples and He said, listen, this is more than people that are agitating me. These are more than just burdens in my life. When He looked at the multitude, He likens them to harvest. That is, He likened them as a field that that had been planted with the crop, that had sprung up, and my friend, fruit had been born. It was ready to be picked. But somebody needed to enter the field and to go into this crowd and multitudes of people and my friend, harvest them for the glory and the honor of God. And so I believe tonight we say in the ministry of the Lord and His teaching here that the Lord is telling you and I that amen, that these people, somebody needs to go to them and somebody needs to pray for me. Amen. Amen. There we go. We're ready now. Amen. And the Lord, when He sees cities, when He sees Newport tonight, He sees more than a bunch of drunkards and more than a bunch of dope dealers and dope smokers. The Lord sees a city that is like a field that somebody needs to reach. That's true of America. It's true of every nation. It's true of every tribe. It's true of every continent this evening. And the Lord is interested in the harvest. Oh, just with me tonight, and I'll be brief this evening, probably be briefer than I even intended. Notice several things the Lord draws our attention to in this passage. The first thing about the harvest, I say, the condition of the harvest. Amen. This multitude, the Lord said that my friend, He was moved with compassion on them. He seen the condition that they were in, and I believe it. And what the Lord saw in the condition that is described in the multitudes that He's seen is a good type and illustration of where our world is and where Newport is and where
Oh, my friend, our generation and lost humanity is at tonight. Oh, this is the first thing the Holy Ghost said. He said that he was moved with compassion on them. Oh, because they fainted. Amen. Notice their first condition is they were fainting. Oh, the word fainted literally means exhausted or to be weary. And the Lord looked out on the cities and villages and seen the multitudes. He seen a crowd that was low of strength. He seen a crowd that was at their wits' end. He seen a crowd that was laboring and toiling through life. Oh, that Brother Dane did not know how to make it through life. Oh, they had tried everything they knew to try. Oh, my friend, they had done everything they knew to do. Oh, they had labored every way they knew to labor. And my friend, oh, they were left exhausted and they were left weary and they was left with little strength. Is that not what living life, a life of sin, does to sinners tonight? Oh, my friend, they're not excelling tonight. And they may be living it up. They may be enjoying it tonight. We've lived long enough to see that sin, when it has its way, living this life in this world, lost and undead. My friend, it doesn't give you strength. After all the lights are dimmed, after all the smoke is cleared, after all the beer's been drunk, my friend, you're not left satisfied. You're not left, my friend, with satisfaction and strength in life. I'd rather you left fainting, it'll leave you exhausted, and it'll leave you weary. And so the Lord looks out and he sees the multitude, and the condition is that they were fainting. Notice, my friend, he said not only had they fainted, but he said that they were scattered. Amen, they were fainting, but they were scattered. The word scattered literally means to be thrown out, to be thrown or to be cast out. It means to hurl or to dispense. In other words, the Lord seen them, and as he looked at them, literally had been thrown down, or they had been, and it was as if they had been thrown away. Can I say? And that's a good commentary on our generation and sin in the world and what the world and the devil does to sinners. And listen, the devil ain't the world's friend tonight. The devil ain't the friend of sinners. He likes to try to convince them that he is. But the devil is our adversary. Amen. He'll try to make deals with you. He'll try, my friend, against sinners to go along with him, and tries to convince them that when he's done with them, he'll give them the whole world. Can I say, I've seen it long enough to know tonight that when the devil gets done, he'll throw you sand. He'll cast you away. Amen. He's not your friend. He's not interested in your good. And neither is the world. Can I say that? Amen. Hollywood ain't your friend. Amen. I'm telling the world to use you and suck you dry. And when they get done getting everything they can squeeze out of your life, my friend, they'll leave you thrown to the sand. And my friend, forsaken. Do you not see that tonight? Amen. We can go through movie star after movie star. Amen. Those my friend, have come up out of the Mickey Mouse Club that were heralded as children as being the next great star. And all the world would do is suck them dry and introduce them to sin. And then when sin had its way and they had nothing left to offer, amen, they leave them in mental institutions. They leave them, that friend, talking down about them. Amen, the world will cast you aside. And the Lord looks out and he says that this crowd, this generation, this multitude of the harvest, they're not gathered together, but literally they have cast one another to the side. Oh, just with me, y'all hang with me. I'm going somewhere, I think I am, all right. Notice with me, the Lord said, not only, and did he have compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered, and he said, because they were as sheep having no shepherd. In other words, Brother Dean, the Lord said that there was nobody to care for them. There was nobody to reach out to them. There was nobody to bring them up under their wing and to help them along life's way. And they was left, my friend, not on only fainting and scattered and thrown to the sand. But literally, my friend, there is nobody to rise to the occasion that can lead them in life to a better way. And I say, my friend, Bill Gates can't help this world. Amen. We've learned the last 6.5 years that my friend Obama can't help this world. Amen. And come on the scene saying, change, change, change. Amen. He can keep the change. Somebody say, amen. I'm not interested in it. They heralded him as he's going to be the next great leader that would care for our nation and bring us all together and to unify us. You know what I'm learning? That America's like a sheep that have no shepherd tonight. And there ain't nobody can help us. Amen. I'm glad the Democrats lost. But I'm telling you this evening, amen, I don't know how much help the Republicans is going to be. Y'all heard me say it. Amen. You can put them all in a bag, shake them up, and throw them out. You won't tell one from the other. Somebody say amen. Amen. We don't need no more Democrats or Republicans. Amen. What we need, some God-fearing Christians and to get our nation back to God. But amen, I digress anyway. That's all frick. But I'm telling you, our generation's in a mess. And we're no different than what the Lord saw that day. Amen. We're a nation that's fainting. We're a world that is scattered and thrown to the sand. We're a world that looks tonight for somebody to lead us. And the Lord said, there's sheep having no shepherd. And nobody can bring them along and lead them to a better way of life. Notice with me, not only the condition of the harvest, but I see the problem in the harvest tonight. Notice what the Lord said in verse number 37. The Bible said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Amen. We see the condition, man, the Lord is looking at them. He's moved with compassion. He knows somebody needs to help. He knows somebody needs to get involved. But Brother Steve, he looks at his disciples and he said, do you see what I say? Do you not see this generation reeling and tossing to and fro? They need somebody that will save them. They need somebody that will get involved in reaching them and show them that there is a better way to live. That you don't have to live life fainting, that you don't have to live life thrown away, that you don't have to live life without a leader and somebody to care for your soul. Amen. And the Lord begins to describe the problem in the harvest. What's the problem? Notice with me, the problem is in the harvest is great. Notice what the Bible said, the harvest truly is plenteous. That means, my friend, there's a great work to be done. There's a lot of souls to be raised. There's a lot of people that need to be raised. There's a lot of sinners that need help. There's a lot of people need the gospel preached to them. Amen. Can I say tonight that the harvest is great? That's a problem in our generation. Amen. We've got more and more churches closing their doors. And my friend, yet more and more sinners are being born every day. My friend, there's more. Amen. Over 6 billion, nearly 7 billion of people live on our earth today. Amen. And my friend, the harvest just gets greater and greater and greater. We've got less missionaries than we've ever had. We've got less churches than we've ever had. We've got more apathetic church members than we've ever had. Amen. The harvest, my friend, is not getting any less. It's not dwindling down. We're not reaching more. We're reaching less. And the Lord said, and the harvest is great. And the problem is, Brother A.L., in the harvest being great, it's not that the harvest is great that's necessarily the problem. It's that, my friend, the labors are few. That is, there's not enough men, and there's not enough women, and there's not enough boys and girls that are entering into the field of harvest. There's not enough, my friend, that are reaching out. There's not enough that is interesting. There's not enough that's not, my friend, getting off the stool and do nothing. of it, my friend, in apathy and in disinterest and in self-interest. Oh, the laborers are staying home and the harvest is perishing in the field. Oh, word that the Lord used there. Oh, when He said it's plenteous, that means it's ripened. It's ripe for the picking. Oh, but that means that they're out there and souls can be harvesting if there be laborers that would go. And a saint of that, thank God for a few good men and a few good families that have said, you know what, I'll not. I'll let the greatness and the size and the condition of the harvest keep me. And God is calling men and calling families to go into the field and preach the gospel and to do their best and to do their part under the power and the call of God to reach people in this world. We'll have the Pridmore family here tomorrow night, and we'll have the Allen family here on Wednesday night, and my friend, we'll have the Ellis family here on Monday and on Tuesday, and we'll have the Seals family on Wednesday. Amen. You say, what are they? They're men and they're women and they're families and said, you know what, there's a problem in the harvest. The harvest is green, and if I don't go, who'll go? If I don't heed the call, who'll heed the call? And my friend, they've charged into the harvest, understanding that it's great. And I give you another problem in the harvest tonight. Amen. Notice what he said. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. He said, it's a harvest out there that is ready to be picked. But in John 4, you remember the story of the woman at the well. He's been communicating with her. I believe she got saved there at the well that day. I believe my lesson. Amen. She came with the water pot and she left her water pot back in the well. And I believe she got saved that day. And when she left the well, she went back and she said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And that woman got saved that day. My friend, why she is gone, or rather right before she left, the disciples come up and they seen the Lord speaking to this Samaritan woman. And that when she left, they said, now Lord, what in the world are you doing speaking a whole piece of trash like that? Amen. That's paraphrase what they said. And the Lord said, hey, I've got meat to do that you know not of. And they said, boy, he's hungry. He's talking about me. And the Lord discerned what they was saying there. And he said, oh no, I'm not talking about feeding my belly. I'm talking about I've came into this world to do the will of him that sent me. And here's what he said to his disciples. And I read it to you. Let me read it to you tonight. He said, say not ye there yet for much, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what the Lord just said? He's saying, don't put it off. Amen. The harvest is out there. Don't delay. The harvest is great. Notice with me, the other problem is that the hour is late. We're closer than we've ever been to coming of the Lord. We, my friend, are running out of time with every passing minute. With every weekend and every week that goes past. My friend, we're that much closer. To my friend, our labor's being ended. And the Lord said, you better not say yet that you got four more months. You better work. What did he say to the disciples? Over there in John, he said, listen, you better do your work while it's day. He said, for the night cometh, and no man can work. Can I say that we're in the fleeting hours in the church age, that the Lord is soon to come, and the harvest is great, and the hour is waned, and so what we're going to do, we better get done, and what we're going to give, we better give, and however we're going to get involved, amen, we can't wait till later. That's the problem in the harvest tonight, is that the hour is late. The harvest is great. There's a work to be done, and what ought to be done tonight. Amen. What ought to be done in the harvest? It ought to be done tonight. It ought to be done without delay. Amen. Whatever God has told us to give, we better give it and do so, my friend, with urgency. Amen. The same urgency the Lord had in John 4 to go down to Samaria down there. there to Jacob's well, Ned. Oh, when he said, I must needs go up through Samaria. Can I say tonight at church we ought to get a I must needs attitude. I must needs go. I must needs give. I must needs get into the involvement in the harvest that is so great. No, when the hour is late. And I say tonight, Paul said the church at Rome, the Roman believers said, he said, now, he said, it's time. It's had time to what? Awake out of sleep. Amen. Those that are in slumber ought to wake up. Those that are on cruise control ought to wake up. Can I remind you? And we'll stand before the Lord of the harvest one day. And we'll give an account of our work and our duty in the field. You say, preacher, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. My children are young right now. I'm going to wait till they get older. And I got more time. Can I say? At the hour's too late to wait around. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm so busy. Yeah, I've got this to do and that to do. I've got this to attain. And I say, my friend, the hour's so late that you may not even have time to get done the things you deserve. Amen. We better make sure that we invest ourselves into what God says is a worthy cause in reaching the harvest. The condition of the harvest, the problem in the harvest. But notice with me, this is what I want to preach from tonight for just a moment. Notice with me the heart for the harvest. What I love about this passage of Scripture is that the Lord, when He saw the multitudes, the Bible said He was moved with compassion on them. You say, preacher, what does that mean? But Gerald, that literally means that when the Lord realized their condition and the Lord realized the problem, that it affected His heart. There was something in His heart that began to churn. There was something that began to be stirred. There was something that began to be moved. There was something that began to be tender. There was something that began to happen on the inside of the Lord when He realized, my friend, what the harvest and what the multitude was all about. And I say tonight, I believe that's our problem. That's what. Listen, I'm not preaching down to you. I'm honored to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. I'm excited about what you do. I'm excited about what the Lord does through you and through me and how we're reaching souls and how that we're giving just at the end of October just shy of $43,000. Amen. To the cause of worldwide missions. Look around. Amen. We ain't got 1,000 here tonight. Amen. We got maybe 100 here this evening. Amen. And to know that God, amen, is using us and we're doing something. My friend, I don't believe we're doing all that we can do. I don't believe, my friend, we've yet to say what God could really do through us. Amen. If our heart would be moved as His was moved, my friend, toward the harvest and toward the multitude that He's seen that day. Amen. In fact, let me give it to you this way. Notice the reason for the heart for the harvest tonight. Amen. What was it that moved the Lord? What was it, amen, that caused Him to have a heart of the multitude that was there? Notice what the Bible said in verse 36. But when He saw the multitude. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that mean? That tells me that, my friend, that when something got in His head and the multitude got in His head, when He seen what their condition was, when His ear heard their cries, when His eyes seen the shape they were in, amen, it done something and made its way down into the heart of the Lord. And He was moved with love. He was moved with compassion. He was moved to be stirred up, my friend, over what that He saw. Can I say tonight that we ought to lift up our hands and we ought to see the crowd of our generation that needs reach? Can I say, amen? I know people are different in many ways in different parts of our country and in different parts of our world, but in a lot of ways we're the same. We're human beings. We're all under the fallen Adamic race. We're all born in sin and live in sin and are plunged into the depths thereof. Amen. Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll be saved for a while and we'll forget that we was one time a part of that multitude. Amen. Friend, we'll see drunkards and we'll throw our nose up at the air and amen, friend, not be moved and not have a heart for them. We'll see the shape their life's in. We'll see the shape their family's in. We'll see the bum holding the sack. Amen, friend, we'll forgive. But by the grace of God, you and I would be there tonight. Amen, rather than, amen, having a smart aleck comment, and we all do. Somebody say amen. Amen, rather than when we say, the person with the purple hair, and all the ear bobs in their ear, and the tattoos up and down their arms, and God only knows where else. Amen, are y'all women tonight? I'm telling you, rather than and throwing our pharisaical nose up in the air, it's the last time that you seen them, and you said, you know what? That could be me. That could be how I'm living tonight. Amen, I'm telling you, somebody better open their eyes and see what the shape of the harvest is. My friend, you're not any better than they are. Were it not for the grace of God and Christ coming by your way, you'd be on the bar stool tonight. You'd be making a trip down, my friend, to the whorehouse. You'd be going by the dope house. You'd have marijuana joints in your pocket tonight. Amen. Needle marks up and down your arm. Happy day that the Lord looked down and was moving with compassion on you. And my friend, he moved some shame in God's heart. They seen where you were, Brother Chris, and just give you a gospel tract and just give you a little testimony about the grace of God. Amen. Thank God somebody's heart was moved with compassion because they saw our lives. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have a heart for the harvest, amen, the reason for that is you've got to see. Amen. You got to get back there at that mission board and see them pictures and see them little colored boys and girls over in Africa that my friend, are being raised in paganism. That my friend, if it weren't for people like the Browers that was over there preaching to them and giving them the gospel, they'd be lost and dying and going to hell. Somebody, amen, got a vision. Somebody seen the shape they were in. Somebody said, if I don't go, nobody will go. And they went, listen, they have a heart of the harvest because of what their eyes seen. Was it not Jeremiah in the Old Testament that said, mine eye hath affected my heart? When you see the need, amen, if you ever get a chance to go out of this country and you see, and I'm not preaching a social gospel tonight, amen, Brazilians don't even live like Americans, and we don't send missionaries to Americanize the world, and would to God our politicians would understand we ain't to be Americanizing the rest of the world. Amen. You ain't gonna Americanize a bunch of towelhead camel riding Muslims anyway. You might as well say, man, they is what they is. Amen, bunch of curry eating, amen, camel riding, rug toting, diaper heads, amen. You ain't gonna make them, amen, suit and tie wearing Americans. Everybody okay? Amen. We don't send people over there to Americanize them, we send them to different countries to preach the gospel. Amen. We believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And it doesn't matter what color their skin, what continent they live on. And my friend, when the gospel is preached, it can set them free from the chains of sin and the chains of paganism. And my friend, somebody's got to see, amen, the condition that the harvest is in, so that their eye can affect their heart and get a heart for the harvest. Notice the response of a heart for the harvest. We see the reason, but notice the response. The Lord looks at his disciples and he says, listen, the harvest truly is plenteous, the labors are few. And here's the response. He said, if you ever see it and you ever see them in their condition, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that has sent forth labors into his harvest. What is the response? What is the response? What's the natural response of those that have a heart for the harvest? They see the need. Their eye fixed. Their heart response is, but Gerald, and we begin to pray that God would send people to reach those that are lost. You know what our job ought to be tonight? And it ought not be, you said, well, you say, preacher, we give invitation every service. I ain't got nothing to pray on. Well, there's about 46 or 47 missionaries and men and families. We ought to be on this altar of praying for God. Use them to reach those that you have called them to reach. If you got a heart for missions, you can't just go through life without, my friend, getting down on your knees and getting down and saying, oh God, help me to do my part. And God, send others and to go into the harvest, send others to go across the sea. Lord, I'm praying that you'll do something to reach my generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We all complain and we all do our part of complaining. Doing all about the world we live in. America, we was talking about it, Brother Jerry, I think, said it back in the prayer room earlier, we ain't in a Christian nation anymore. America's a pagan nation. It's a social borderline communist. Yes, amen. You say, I don't agree with that. Well, that's about where we are. Yes, amen. We're real kin to being we're in socialism. We're real close to being in communism. Amen. You might as well say amen. And we complain about it, do we not? I don't like it. Amen. When's the last time, rather than pouting about it, we prayed about it? I'm going to tell you how America can be turned around. Amen. Somebody's got to preach the gospel. When we get more sinners saved, America can be turned back to God. Amen. Obama ain't the answer. I don't know why I'm so hard on Obama tonight, but he ain't the answer. Amen. Praise God. And I hate to tell this, we're going to probably get Hillary or Hillary, however you want to pronounce it. We'll probably get her next go round. You think it's bad now, just wait till we get a woman in there. Oh, hallelujah. You might as well say, man, we're going to be in a mess. What are we going to do? Somebody better get down on their knees and pray and do their part to try to get some sinner saved. America is one of the greatest mission fields in the world right now. There's more churches closing their doors, more quote-unquote Christian churches closing their doors, and my friend, there's more Muslim churches being opened. You say, preacher, what are we going to do? Amen. Somebody better pray. Somebody better get a heart for the harvest and realize where we are and respond in the way that the Lord said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. God, please do something. Amen. That we might reach this generation of multitude in the harvest fields that are wide already in the harvest. Amen. Notice with me the reaching of the heart of harvest. Notice what the Bible said. The reach of the heart of the harvest is this. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what the Lord's is saying, and I think you'll see it in the next chapter. In Matthew chapter number 10 is when Christ sendeth out the 12 apostles to go into preaching all the land. Why is that? Because I think they got a heart for the harvest, and they began to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord harvest. Lord, send somebody to reach this crowd that's in such bad shape. And the Lord said, okay, you've been praying that. Now you go reach them. Everybody okay? You know what? The reason, getting a vision for those that are in need. And that response of saying, okay, Lord of the harvest, we need your help. Send forth laborers. You know what the Lord begins to do? The Lord says, okay, you go. Yes, sir. There's a desire in the heart of those that have a heart for the harvest that say, I want to reach somebody. I don't care if it's across the street or across the sea. Amen. If you got a heart for the harvest, a preacher won't have to make you feel bad about not giving out tracts.
Amen. You won't have to have visitation night to try to reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It won't be a set time. It'll be a way of living for you because your heart is always moved with compassion for the harvest. Everybody okay? Notice the rendering, and I'm done. The rendering or the giving of the heart of the harvest for the harvest. If you will, you're in Matthew 9. Look back in Matthew 6, and we'll use another text for this. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that has sent forth laborers in this harvest. But guess what? That labor's got to have a way to get there. Is that right? In fact, in the next chapter, when he sends the 12 out, he said, don't take no purse. He said, you just go out there and preach and I'll take care of your needs. How are their needs going to be taken? Well, it ain't going to fall out of the sky. Somebody's got to give to them along the way. Is that right? You're in Matthew 6, and this is where we're boiling down here, Brother Dean. Let me see your book, Matthew 6. Look in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Here's my verse 21. For where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also. Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying those that have the right kind of heart for the harvest. Jesus said he can tell where your heart is by where you invest your money. Is that right? It's what he's saying. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you a question. Where's your treasure? You say, oh, preacher, I got a big old bank account. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching against that. You say, preacher, my treasure is in the home that I have furnished for me and my family. Praise the Lord. I hope you're blessed with the biggest house in town. But what are you giving? Where's your investments in the work of God in reaching the harvest? We can't all go. Is that right? And I'm a praying through the years, and I've got at least 39. I've got at least, Brother Gerald, 39 more years here if the Lord keeps me alive. Now, I may die before then, and if I do, I'll see you on the other side. Amen. But if he tarries his coming and he lets me live, I got 39 more years. You know what I'm a praying? That God will raise up missionaries right out of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Sure. Amen. Sure. Amen. Boys, and I'm not telling you got to be preachers, but there'd be nothing wrong with you saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, go wherever you want me to go. I will do the will of God for my life. Ain't that right? It might be some older men. It might be Brother Mark, God says, you're going to go to Zimbabwe. I can't even spell Zimbabwe. I don't even know where Zimbabwe is. But if God spoke to Mark's heart, Brother Mark ought to say, you know what, I'll go. We can't all go, but some of us can go. And we're praying, Brother Jack, God will raise up men and young families right here out of our church that will go and preach the gospel and plant churches in America and plant churches in foreign countries and see a great work done in the harvest that we're in. But guess what? Somebody's got to give something if they're going to go. Somebody's got to say, you know what? I'll put my treasure, I'll invest my treasure in faith promise missions. That's what we call it, faith promise missions. And I'll say more about that in the next few nights. But we call it faith promise missions. Brother Dean, if my heart is for the harvest, guess what? My treasure will be for the harvest. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do now. Brother Jerry, you got your card? Right there. Here next Sunday morning, we're going to ask you to put your card in that offering plate. And not with your name on it, not to hound you and send you mean, nasty letters about paying you your faith promise. Won't even have your name on it, but just as a commitment and as a record for the church, so we know what Brother Charlie, we're going to ask you to put that commitment in the offering plate. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Through the week, I want you, Brother Chris, I want you to get your heart in the offering plate. I want your heart here. But Jordan, if your heart's here, then there won't be no trouble when God says, give $100 a month, give $200 a month, give $500 a month, give $1,000 a month. Say, preacher, nobody gives that much. I've seen them give that much. I've seen people give $1,000 a month, and God bless them, and God give it to them every month of the year and be involved in Faith Promise missions. You say, how does somebody do that? How does somebody above their tithes and offerings and gifts to the church, how does somebody put that much money in the offering plate? Because their heart got put there. They got their heart there, Brother Jack. They got their heart in the offering plate. And when your heart's in there, Brother Larry, your treasure follows. Jesus said, where your treasure is, I can tell a lot about your heart by where your treasure is. And a heart for a harvest. When we have a heart for the harvest, and you'll see that's our theme for our meeting, and it's going to be our theme for missions this year, a heart for the harvest. When I have a heart for the harvest, I'm willing to go anywhere and give anything it takes to do what God has called me to do in reaching the harvest of my generation. Everybody with me? I'm winding down. I ain't been that long. Some of y'all look like I've been preaching about 4 hours. It ain't been 4 hours. Listen to me. How's your heart tonight? Is your heart grown cold? Do you just kind of pass by the mission board and you don't even give it a second thought? When's the last time you got down on your knees and you prayed over that missionary list and called out them families' names and said, God, use them to reach those that you've called them to reach? When's the last time you said, Lord, would you give me a little bit more? Would you give me a little bit more financially so I could give a little bit more? Why don't we do that, Brother A.L.? Because we don't really have a heart for the harvest. Would you stand with me? Sister Hannah, would you come to the piano, please? I want to give invitation tonight. And I thought about just giving a church family invitation, come down. But I want you to be responsive tonight yourself. And probably a good way to start mission meeting this evening would be get on this altar and say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to tender my heart. And some of the things that we're going to see and some of the things you're going to hear this week, may it affect my heart. And Lord, really do something in my heart so I can grasp what you want to do with, through my life in reaching the harvest. As Sister Hannah begins to play, Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, we've kind of choked our way through this tonight. But Lord, I pray the truth has been there. Father, we understand that Lord, it's about the heart, that man looketh on the outward and God looketh on the heart. Father, we may walk in tonight and convince ourselves and convince everybody else that we're fine and that, Lord, we're doing all we can do, but Lord, you really know our heart. So, Father, I ask you tonight, touch your heart. Lord, I'm mindful of the Apostle Paul when he said, the church at Rome, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So, Lord, there is a harvest that is great. Lord, we know there's an hour that's late. Lord, this thing's winding down. Lord, what we have to do, we've only got just a short time to do it. So, Lord, we really need a heart for doing what you called us to do. Lord, what you're calling on us to give, Lord, I pray that our heart would be affected. Help us, Lord, we pray tonight. Help these here to come. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our giving. Lord, make us a larger channel this upcoming year than we were last year. Lord, you've been faithful to meet our needs. We do want to tell you thank you for that. So, Lord, I pray you do it all over again. Help us now. Help my church. In Jesus' name, there's some down here praying this evening. Would you mind the Lord? A heart for the harvest. Have you got a heart for the harvest? Have you got a heart for the harvest tonight?